Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is our last sermon on Ecclesiastes. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we come to the close of Ecclesiastes, the preacher urges his listeners to understand that the most important relationship that they need to address is their relationship with their Creator. There is no more important a decision that you will make in this life other than that. That's what's going to affect all of eternity to come. It's that decision that's going to bring you through the struggles and trials of life. It is that decision that is going to set you up and prepare you for that moment when you are going to depart from this life. That's the only decision that is going to matter. And the scriptures are full of people that have passed from this life into eternity, and they had that peace that passes all understanding. And you may say, how in the world do they do that? How can they do that? How can Stephen be being stoned, and yet he's lifting up his eyes towards heaven, his face looks like that of an angel, and he's seeing the Lord Jesus Christ standing ready to receive him into heaven? How can Simeon say, Lord, I'm ready, take me? I mean, how many of us are able to say those words? I mean, I've heard, not to, you know, overly criticize, but I've heard preachers say, you know, I'm ready to die, but not just yet. None of us, they want to carry, I mean, we can all understand that, right? They want to see their children grow, they want to see grandchildren and stuff like that. But still, it highlights how serious that move from earth leaving this life, how difficult it is. And it's this decision, it's this relationship that's going to give you assurance and strength in those times. And so the preacher understands that. The rich man understood that. Too late, unfortunately, but he understood it. He wanted his Lazarus to go back, not to tell his brothers and family, you know, how to live their life and how to be successful and don't fall into this mistake, don't fall into that trap. He didn't want him to go and tell them about those things. He wanted him to go and tell them about the gospel. How wonderful it is then that the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned his whole church to go into the world and preach the gospel. I mean, didn't that satisfy what the rich man was asking? I mean, do you think that God isn't concerned about that? The rich man, you have these concerns? You think God is not concerned about those things? He sent his whole church from the beginning of creation to the end of the world. He's been warning people over and over again. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. No, this is something that Christian parents need to impress upon their children. This is why Paul commends Timothy and points out to him that from infancy he was taught the scriptures by his grandmother, by his mother, that were able to make him wise unto salvation. No, we can't delay. We can't say, oh, we'll wait till later on. They're busy with other things. What other things are more important than that? It's not that we ignore everything and just keep ramming that decision day after day after day. But that has to be at the top of your mind, isn't it? I mean, every Christian parent, I would say, if it's not, there's something drastically wrong. Every Christian parent's biggest concern is not their children be educated, not that they have a good job, not that they have a healthy life, but that they come to know the Lord. We would be content for them to have difficulties left, right, and center, but have this relationship with God, than the other way around. To be so successful, have everything, but no relationship with God. And that's the way it is with our friends. I know it's not so easy with friends, but it wasn't so easy for the rich man, but he wanted to go back. I mean, if God said, no, Lazarus is not going, I'll give you a chance to go back. You think he would have said, yeah, it's kind of awkward speaking to your family. He would have been eager to go back, right, and tell them about it. And so this, the way that Ecclesiastes ends brings us to that. So he's saying, first of all, in verses 1 to 5, remember your Creator before you get old. Before you get old. Before you get used to life. Before you become confident that you can handle life. Before you get settled, as it were, and think that you can live life through your own strength, and that somehow this aspect of your life, your relationship with God, gets pushed aside, ignored, not that relevant, doesn't make that much of a difference. Life is still enjoyable. I can still do many things. And so it's working, as it were, without God. Whereas the preacher is saying, all life without that relationship is vanity upon vanity of vanities. But that's not the way people experience it. The devil makes it look like you've been very successful. You're really a good person and things are going well. You don't need anything else. You can do it in your own strength. That's what he does. And the preacher says, no, don't be fooled. Eve was fooled. She thought taking from the tree and having the knowledge of good and evil, that would set her in good stead. Everything would be fine. But no, she ruined the relationship with God. And what misery that brought into her life. The danger envisioned, as I said, by the preacher is if we do not remember our Creator in the days of our youth, life will pass us by. The devil is all too eager to get you preoccupied with this and with that. He's more than happy, as much as is possible for him to affect, and that is to make you successful. After all, he said to Jesus, look, Lord, the kingdoms, they're yours. You can have them. Just bow down before me. He just wants to separate us from God. And you can have all the pleasures that you want. I mean, In the wisdom literature, in the scriptures, that's the way it is. The seductress wants to give you all the pleasures that you want. But she's going to lead you to the door of hell itself. And so the devil will give you things in this life and point them out. Look how successful, well done. See, you can handle it. You don't need anything else. But all the time, he's putting us in real danger. So he says, remember your Creator in the days of youth. Don't let life go by ignoring this very important step. Because these are difficult days are going to come. You're going to get into trouble. And so we have all of these verses that really speak about life, and they speak about the decline in our abilities. When we're young, we think we can do anything in the world. And then we get a little stronger, we get a little, become adults, and then we have more stability, we have more money, we have more connections with our jobs maybe, with our intellect, whatever it is, we get even more confident. And so we think, oh, I don't need God. But then the days, as he says, come when those things that we relied upon, those things that we trusted, suddenly start falling away. And so there's this, the description that is given that no doubt all of us can relate to in terms of our bodies. That's what he's describing, the decay of the body. That our arms are not as strong as they used to be. We can't hold ourselves up. Or our legs are not as strong as they were before. And our eyes and our teeth and our ears and our sense of smell, all the faculties that we have go down. And it's true as we get older in terms of years, what's on our calendars are usually appointments to the doctor. That's what they are. I mean, before we go, oh, I've got to go here, I've got to do this, I've got to do it. But now it's like, I got to see him about this, I got to see him about that, I got to see her about that. It's all about the decline of health. And so then our minds are taken up with all of those things. And now we find ourselves without a solid foundation, without comfort and strength in those times. And those that have come to faith do trust in God. Not that it's a walk in the park, life is walk in the park, it's not. But I'm sure each and every one of them can testify to the fact that it is that relationship, it is that solid foundation that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ and him in our life through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God and through the fellowship of God's people, that he gives us all that we stand in need of. Not that it's without tears, not that it's without pain, because as I've said, the path of faithful Christians does at times take us to the valley of the shadow of death. We know what it is to shed tears. We know what it is to have heavy hearts. We know all of that. And the disappointments of life or our friends or our children. But underneath all of that is this solid foundation that is laid by the Lord Jesus Christ, that our faith remains strong. The scriptures relate to what is being said in terms of, I mean, the world kind of recognizes that too. You know, the saying that people have, oh, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I mean, what does that mean? That means the old dog is so set in his ways, he's not open to other things anymore. Right? He thinks he's got it all sewn away and everything is fine and he doesn't need anything else. You can't tell him anything. He's grown up, he's matured, he's got experience. Who's going to tell him anything? And so they don't listen. And though you preach to them, they think, oh, it's a waste of time. Because they have everything in hand. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes this aspect by saying, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a small child shall not enter it. So why? Why is he saying that? Because children in the early years don't have the wherewithal or the experience to say, oh, I can handle this, I can handle that, I can handle that. But adults do. They may become very educated, they may become very rich, they may become very strong, influential, and so they think they can handle it. But that's not the case with the young. The young don't bring complicated arguments. Oh, this, you know, I don't need the gospel. I don't need this. I don't need that. There's more humility in the children than there is in adults. And so Jesus said, when the gospel comes, when you hear the gospel, if you don't respond to it like a child, trusting, then you're never going to enter. I mean, wasn't the Pharisees that Jesus said about them, the prostitutes who enter in the kingdom of God before you? Because they were so confident in themselves. They knew the law of God. They knew how to live. There was nothing wrong with them. They didn't need salvation. And yet, there's this woman that had really nothing to boast about, no reputation at all. And yet, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Syrophoenician woman. Nobody looked at her with any kind of respect. They didn't even want Jesus talking to her. And yet Jesus said, I haven't found such faith in all of Israel. Because she trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we become so engrossed with ourselves, so confident in our own strength, that we discount the gospel. Or as Jesus put it, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Which is virtually saying it's impossible. Why? Because a rich man thinks he has everything. He doesn't need the gospel. He has enough money for the rest of his life. Doesn't matter how long he lives, he's got it. He'll never have any worries. Well, the greatest worry is in that state, he'll never enter the kingdom of God. That's not to say, I may hasten to add, that rich people can't come to faith in Lord Jesus Christ. They can. But as Corinthians says, but not many were noble, not many were rich, that came into the kingdom. Because that's what riches do. They corrupt us. They give us false sense of security. And urge us away from God's kingdom rather than to God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom is pursued because we have needs. But we don't see those needs. We see no reason to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need him. We have a solid foundation. We have all that we need. And you see that, as I said, as you talk to people, that's what you have. But remember, the more you put it off, the more you hear it and ignore it, the more your heart is going to be hardened. The more you're going to say, I've heard of that. I've heard that before. Right? And we show no interest. So if somebody knocks on our door, then we'll just shut up and say, yeah, no, I'm not interested. I know all that. And so the preacher is saying, don't do that. Don't put it off. Don't ignore it. Because who knows? That chance may never come again. But not only does he emphasize the hardening that occurs, but he also warns them that death is coming in verses 7 and 8. Before the silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. The rich man and Lazarus died. They both were confronted by God. Any hopes that this life is all there is and then there's nothing is going to be a rude awakening. Because there is. There's an eternity. There's a God. There's justice. And so the preacher is warning us before that day comes. Before that day comes. You need to address this relationship. You need to address your need. The danger that you're in. Whether you're ready to stand before God. What are you going to say? I mean, just imagine in your minds that at this moment, God, you are before God. What are you going to say? I didn't know the gospel. I didn't never heard of the gospel. Or we're going to say, I really didn't see the need of the gospel. And God is going to say, well, you didn't recognize the sin in your life? You thought that there's nothing wrong with that? That was never going to come to justice? I'm the God of the whole world. I'm the judge of all the earth and I will do right. Nothing's going to get past me. What are you going to say? That's the question that the gospel answers. Not by saying, well, I was a decent person. I helped so-and-so and I helped so-and-so. No. The only answer there will be that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in my place. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered for all of these sins that I own, that I cannot deny and I don't want to deny, but he suffered them for me. And not because I was worthy, but because he was loving, caring, that he gave these things to me free of charge. I believed in him. And so in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be received by God for eternity to be with him, to love him, to serve him. People of God, death brings an end to such an opportunity. And the thing is, no one can predict when it is that they're going to die. It can come at any moment. It's like, yeah, you don't know whether it's today or tomorrow. So to put it off is a foolish thing. As the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Today. If we really understand our need of salvation, then we would never put it off. I mean, if we were told we had cancer, we'd be right at the hospital that day. We're in deep trouble. And death can come any moment. For the old as well as for the young. Right? There's a saying that the old have to die, but the young can die. So the young can't sit back and relax and say, oh, I've got tons of years. No, that's not a guarantee to anyone. So God warns us. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So that once we remember that, of course he means believe in him, not just, oh, I know God exists, but believe in him, then your life, in a sense, if I may put it that way, has a safety net. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel that we read in the scriptures, that we hear preached. So he ends this book by saying, look, of making and reading of books, there is no end. You go to any big library and you're just overwhelmed. How much stuff is there? Knowledge that man has put into book form for others to learn. There's no end. And the devil utilizes that to make us give up. The devil wants to multiply these things so that we're confused. So we don't know which way to turn. Here's this one gospel, and so he produces so many other religions that people think, how can this one be the only right one? I mean, how many times have we not heard that argument? But it is. There is only one way of salvation, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preacher went through that process. God gave him the wisdom to do so in terms of what he gave to Solomon. And so he cuts through all of that, and he brings this admonishment to his son that this is the sum of all of it. That we remember our Creator, that we believe in him, that we live our life. We understand that we are his, and our life is a gift from him, and it's only as we live it in relationship with him that it escapes this life of vanity of vanity. That results in the judgment of God. So when we are young, then let us take that seriously. Let us not waste our life as though in the end we'll think about it. As the preacher says, when you get old, you're not going to think about it. You're going to be hardened. So now is the time. Listen to the gospel. Give it your full attention. Understand how glorious it is and how much you need it. Parents care about their children's education. Their parents care about their children's health, care about all kinds of things. Why would we not care about their eternal well-being? No, we need to. So just like Paul says, let us, whether we're grandparents or whether we're parents, let us teach our children the scriptures. Let us tell them about the gospel so they might believe in him and have that wonderful assurance and live life that is honoring to God. Live life that has his blessing upon us. Live life that is guided by his word and by his spirit. That's the secret of life. The rich man wanted that message to be brought to his family. God has given it to us in the scriptures. Let us proclaim it, starting with our own families and our circle of friends. Let us preach the gospel so that they can have a solid foundation and a wonderful life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we are in possession of your word. And our Father in heaven, what a privilege that is. And our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word that covers from the beginning of this world, creation, to the end of the world. You've laid it all out for us. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might be instructed by it. And as your word says, be made wise unto salvation. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would take away any barriers that we have formed by our life, by our thoughts and ideas. And Lord, that they would be stripped away and we would see ourselves as those that need a Savior. And we're so thankful that you've provided that in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for giving him as a sacrifice for our sins, securing for us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Our Father in heaven, we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. We pray for our friends, our relatives. Lord, help us to bring this glorious truth to them. And we pray that you would open their hearts, because we know how hardened people become. But you are able to open hearts. And so we pray that we would not think that it's a waste of time, that they'll never believe. No, we thank you that by your Spirit, you're able to take away hard hearts and give hearts of flesh that are sensitive to the gospel. Our Father in heaven, help each and every one here present today to have this decision firmly squared away and their life founded on this glorious foundation, even our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 678.